Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland, so my channel. Anyway, so in this video, I'm going to comment on these drone attacks on Russia over the last week or so, and the Russian regime's rather muted response to them, because given all the blood-curdling apocalyptic rhetoric early in the war, especially from Dmitry Medvedev, you think that this would provoke a volcanic response. But they've not been fulminating as much as you might think. So they've really de-emphasized this because Ukraine's attacks on Russia are growing ever bolder, striking deeper into Russian territory. Moscow is at 450 kilometers from the Ukrainian border. I think it's 800 kilometers from Kyiv. And there's shelling of the border districts almost every day, particularly Belgorod region, as in it's centered on Belgorod. So these armed men are raiding into Russia on an almost daily basis, not large groups. Russia came claim to have killed 70 of them in one day. Ha, ha, ha. So where are the corpses? They're never shy about displaying corpses. And in the Russian news, they actually don't blur out the faces. So I don't think they've shown a single one. I mean, they probably killed some, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think it's anything remotely like 70. So this is the Putin's lie machine. So the liar of Leningrad carries on his mendacious activities. And the drones, well, one of them was shot down over Rublevka, one of the most elite areas of Russia. Now, I suppose the Ukrainians are trying to show that the Russian super rich, that this impacts you. If you biff someone else, you get biffed. You cannot live in your cocoon, safe in the bubble of the super affluent. No, it's going to hurt you. So you better end this war now. Use your good offices with the Putin regime to end this. But the super rich often don't have it. You know, Russia kind of got these businessmen out of politics. Putin, he kind of tried to de-oligarchize. He has his pet oligarchs, but it's not like in the 90s they called the shots, or even the first few years of the Putin regime. You know, just months into office, he called a meeting for all these billionaires. He read the riot act to them. You can keep your ill-gotten lucre, but you keep your nose out of politics. You don't speak up for the opposition at all. And Boris Berezovsky, who'd actually helped shoehorn Putin into office, he fell foul of him because Berezovsky very quickly thought he'd made a terrible mistake and Putin was not the man he hoped he was. And the other one is Mikhail Khodorkovsky, who was truculent and he defiantly funded the opposition and spent 10 years cooling his heels in prison for it. So even the richest people actually have very little sway in Putin's Russia now. So Putin's not saying anything, but even silence is a response. He's getting his mouthpiece, Dmitry Peskov, to say everything. So the defense ministry is saying, oh, yeah, the war is going swimmingly. Yeah. This 48-hour war, which has now been going on for a year and a half, and they're nowhere near Kyiv. Great plan, actually. And I've even heard a Putin apologist said, that was the plan all along. We never wanted to take Kyiv at first. Oh, yeah. Wow, what a stroke of genius to go there and have thousands of men killed who've not even wanted to take the city. Why wouldn't you want to take the capital? I mean, anyone could take the capital if they could. He didn't do it because he couldn't do it. He tried and failed. Anyway, so they definitely want to play this down because these strikes in Russia have really given lie to perhaps the central lie of the Putin regime about the war, that this war is making Russia safer. It's not. It's more in danger than ever. It's 80 years since another country has bombarded Moscow. Admittedly, Chechen separatists have set off bombs there in the last 20 years or so, but not a foreign sovereign state. And the Ukrainians never even attempted it until Russia did this. To demilitarize Ukraine, they're more militarized than ever. They didn't have the capacity to hit Moscow before. So if Moscow's not safe, nowhere's safe. The Kremlin's not safe. Anyway, so people say, is this a red line that's been crossed? But, you know, they haven't done anything worse than done before. And there have obviously been strikes, killing the daughter, Daria Dugina, the daughter of that so-called philosopher who was, a Putin apparatchik. Obviously, I didn't want that woman to die, or even necessarily the philosopher. It's not a military target. So they haven't done anything. You know, if the Crimea Bridge was damaged, well, then there'd be hell to pay. Well, actually, nothing was done. Okay, missile strikes on various Russian military bases inside the Russian Federation. And so Putin actually hasn't upped the ante. What can he do he's not done already? There've also already been a large-scale massacre of civilians at Bucha. They've chemical weapons, biological weapons, or nuclear weapons, even including tactical battlefield nuclear weapons, just to take out a few square kilometers. They've not done any of those. Now, they still have them in the arsenal, or deliberately blowing up the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the largest nuclear power plant in Ukraine. Well, they could yet do this, but I suppose their back's not really up against the wall. Russia pretends that it's the victim of the war that the Putin regime started unprovokedly and illegally. So Putin has wanted to pretend that there is business as usual, this is only a special military operation, so that certainly the wealthy Muscovites can carry on as normal and not suffer too much, because he thinks that they do suffer too much, that's when his regime is entering the danger zone. But it's increasingly difficult to maintain that pretense. And I'm told in many ways you can get what you want in Russia, even luxury goods, but they have to be bought via a third country to evade sanctions. It takes a bit longer, it costs a bit more. But it's actually not really hurt the lifestyle of the super rich that much. I mean, a very well-connected woman I spoke to some time ago, and she said the thing is to stop them traveling. They want to be able to go to Antibes, Saint-Tropez, the Bahamas, wherever else, the UAE. Well, you aren't not going to be able to stop them going to the United Arab Emirates. You can make life difficult for Aeroflot and other airlines, not providing the spare parts, the maintenance. They're doing that already, but they're still airworthy for the moment. They could still fly via Turkey, even if Aeroflot couldn't fly. So the general public is in danger. Now, to be fair to Russia, when some of they've killed some civilians with their drone strikes in Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities, that might be just cock-up rather than conspiracy. Or when these things are shot down, the debris falls wherever, and sometimes hills an apartment block, even that wasn't actually the attack. All right, there's collateral damage. But the same happens with when Russia strikes Ukraine. And obviously, I would never condone willfully targeting civilians. So the mayor of Moscow, he did comment on the attacks and said that it is just trifling damaged. Dmitry Peskov, that's Putin's press spokesman, he said that the military did superbly, and the investigative committee, that's the sort of detectives, they're investigating things. These things are their crimes rather than acts of war by a foreign country, which has obviously been attacked by Russia, which never contemplated attacking Russia until it had to fight for its own survival. So this is bringing the war to the enemy. Is that worth it from a Ukrainian perspective? And in so many ways, I think it is, actually, bringing home to them that you'll not be safe till we're safe. No justice, no peace. Withdraw, and it's all over. If you can attack it to us, we can attack you, and that you'll pay a very heavy price. Actually, the price is not heavy at all at the moment. You'll pay some sort of a price for doing this. So they're really trying to play it down, and Putin's trying to give this appearance of impassivity. So one guy in the State Duma, as in like a member of parliament, Andrei Guruliov, said the thing is we've got to forbid people from taking photographs and filming these drones. Yeah, just a bit like, Defence of the Realm Act in the United Kingdom, not to take photos of bomb damage because we're too demoralising the population. So there's nothing to see here. There's nothing happening rather than these horrifying images. So Putin, when he had to say something, said the air defenses worked well. So anyway, Putin, what was he doing actually the day after the main drone attacks? Well, his press spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, said that the man's agenda was taken up with economic issues, meeting business people, looking at architecture, urban development, education, and other spheres of economic development. So Putin has actually gone ahead with the St. Petersburg so-called International Economic Forum, but almost no foreign guests went, but is trying to be as normal as possible, that there's no war on. So obviously if they think there really is a war and they're suffering, then things might diminish. Oh, don't provoke them. Well, I don't see what they're going to do. They're not doing already, but it plays into his narrative that they're under attack. Well, even if you don't do that, they're going to say that anyway, and it's going to be believed a lot of people anyway. They could make up attacks even they didn't occur. So I don't really see the disadvantage of Ukraine to doing this. It catches the Russian off balance. They have to put more troops to defend their homeland and fewer to defend the illegally occupied Ukrainian territories. Thanks for watching. Bye.